welcome you to Mount Zion Baptist Church today. I know everybody's tired, and I don't know why. It's only the hot days of summer and all of our ministries, and I just want to take time to commend the church today for working together through some very, very busy times, but working in harmony with one another and serving the Lord and striving together for the gospel's sake. And boy, did we see good things happen. And you'll get to hear about some of that this evening, but a number of souls saved in VBS and one over at the park and some down at the teen rally. And boy, isn't that what it's about, right? Seeing people saved. And you be praying for tonight as we hope to have families and parents come to the closing program tonight. Pastor Todd will give you some direction on that. It will be down in the other building. And so want to remind you of that. And then we have refreshment time afterwards down in the other building. And so be reminded of that. I also want to just make a couple other announcements here. First of all, the new to the church class will restart next Sunday night at 5:30. That's down in room number one. We've done two classes. Now we have two more. If you missed a class the last time, let me invite you to get in on one of these classes or the class that you missed in the last two, and that will begin next Sunday night. I visited Phyllis Trexler this week, and Phyllis wanted to say thank you for all the cards and prayers. And she says, please tell the church that I love the church and I pray for it. And she does pray for it. And so I wanted to share that with you as well. I also want to share with you good news, good news, good news, hot off the press this morning. I got a text early this morning from Kyle Davis, and Emily had her baby this morning around 1 in the morning. So baby in the middle of the night. Of course, Olivia had her baby, I believe, Thursday night. Is that right, Aaron? Thursday night. And so we can't wait to see these little ones and them to be in church. But please pray for these mothers as they bounce back from delivering the children. Also, I wanted to let you know, I won't say this tonight, but this coming week I'm spending some time with my wife and my girls away. So I'll be out of town this week. If you have a need, please do reach Pastor Todd or Pastor Jared. They'll be in the office throughout the week, and you can get a hold of them. Please pray for our travels. We're not going far, a few hours away, but pray that we can have a refreshing time and build some memories with our family. Stand with me, if you would, and let's open in a word of prayer this morning. And good to have all of you here in the service today. We're honored to be here together. And I'm going to ask Eric Haywood, if he would, to stand and pray over our service.
Father, Lord, our closing program tonight, our visitors and folks who are coming. We thank you, love you, pray.
Amen. Take your songbooks, we'll sing together this morning.
798 in your songbook, Surely Goodness and Mercy. You'll notice there's the grand chorus there. We'll save that to the last verse. We'll do that on at the end of verse number 3. 798. Together on the first verse.
Thank you. Amen. It's good to have everyone out this morning. A beautiful, beautiful Sunday morning. Always good to be in the house of the Lord. And yes, it's been a very busy week, and I'll say more about all of that tonight. We did have at VBS, we had 9 young souls saved, and we praise the Lord for that. Certainly, one soul makes it all worth it, and so praise the Lord, and I'll say more about everything tonight in the closing program, and I'll say more this morning about the closing program during announcements. But it's good to have all of you here with us. Good to have Caitlin, I think Schertzer, if I got the last name correct. Caitlin, you were on ensemble with a couple of the star children a couple years ago, I think, and so it's good to have Caitlin with us this morning. And I hear rumor that we had a VBS child, or have a VBS child here, right? We do. Well, amen. We've got a VBS child here with us this morning, Delcy. And so that's good. We are praying for many more visitors tonight because the gospel will go out. And we're excited because what I know now is we've got a couple busloads of visitors coming, our buses that ran this week, and of course, many more, Lord willing, driving in. So you'll be praying about that this afternoon. But we are excited about that. We're excited about church this morning. I'm wondering if you brought anybody, or you're a first-time visitor, other than these we've mentioned on this side. How about on this side? All right. Well, we'd still like to stand, shake somebody's hand, welcome them to church this morning.
Your seats, turn to hymn number 344. Hymn number 344. It's a song that turns our eyes on what we have in Jesus. The songwriter wrote, "Hallelujah, I have found Him." If you're saved this morning, you have found Him and He has found you. And so we want to sing the first and last verses just before the ushers come. Think about the words as we sing hymn number 344. Is much like poetry. In fact, a lot of poetry is in music. And in the last verse, there's all kinds of descriptions of what Christ is like to us. Think about those as we sing on the last verse together. There's a before. There was a before. Those of you that are saved this morning, there was a before. But thank God there's a now. Now I am saved. Praise God for that. If you don't have a now, today needs to be your day of now that I am saved. Brother Gary, would you please pray over our offering?
Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this day, Lord Jesus, for thankful for a great week. Lord, Savior, the routines as well, Lord, challenges. Lord, the Lord, speaker, Lord, I pray for the service today now, Lord. I'm here to look right. Savior, bless you, Lord, your feet. Bless us, offering you.
Amen. You may be seated.
Take your songbooks now. Stand with me. 377, He Lives. We'll sing all three verses of 377. Together on the first, I serve a risen Savior.
I serve.
Together on the last,
rejoice.
keep on praising Him, and my voice will never tire or grow old, and my song shall ever be, praise the Lamb who died for me, and I'll sing it while ages shall roll. When a million years have passed in that wonderful place, my song of praise will just have begun, and my song will never end while I look on His face, and my song will never be done. And while the ages roll, I'll keep on praising Him, and my voice will never tire or grow.
Take your Bibles now, turn to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. When you found Ephesians chapter 5, stand with me if you would for the reading of God's Word. I'm going to read several verses here, starting in verse 17. Ephesians chapter 5. Starting in verse 17, the Bible says, "Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we come before You this morning, and Lord, we do thank You for our gathering. We thank You, Lord, that we can gather centered around You, centered on Your Word, Lord. And Lord, we thank You for the beautiful day that You've given us today. Most of all, we thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. God, I pray that, Lord, if there's one among us today, here in this building, or maybe by way of live stream, if they do not know You as Lord and Savior, if they have not accepted Jesus Christ as the payment of their sins, I pray that today would be the day of their salvation. Father, now I pray that you would help us to learn something from your word, and not only learn it, Lord, but do it. We thank you that your word addresses everything in life. Lord, you've given us commands, and you've given us principles, and you've given us your characteristics. Lord, you've given us everything we need for life and godliness. God, I pray you'd help us to listen intently this morning to the preacher preaching the message that you gave to him. Father, I ask that you would be glorified in it all. In your name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Before I get into the message today, I'd like you to take your hymn books, do something a little different this morning. I'd like you to open them to the front flyleaf. And when we're listening to the Word of God, the Spirit of God is speaking. I believe that. I believe that when we open up the Scriptures, the Spirit of God is speaking. And I believe it's very easy, having been in church all my life, and many of you being in church for many, many years, to not have that fresh listening to the Spirit of God. And we just go through a message, or we go through church services, and we're not really hearing from the Spirit, but the Spirit wants to speak to us. The songwriter wrote it this way, Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Or in other words, we need the fresh touch of the Spirit of God in our lives. I'm not Pentecostal this morning. I'm not talking about speaking in tongues. I'm not talking about a second work of blessing. But I am talking about the Spirit's voice through the Word that we need to be able to hear. So as just before I preach this morning, I would like you to sing this with me just through twice. And if you could sing it from your heart to the Spirit this morning as we prepare for the preaching, all right?
Spirit of the living God,
this time. Lord, as Brother Mark said this morning in Sunday school, one of the ways that we glorify you is by hearing the word and responding to it. Lord, yielding to it. And Spirit, I ask that you would move in our hearts today through the truths that I will preach. I pray that people will be helped in this service. I pray there'll be no sign of any hardened, calloused, or resistant heart today. I pray that you would melt us. I pray that you would mold us. I pray that you would fill us. That, Lord, you would use us in our families, and especially, Lord, in our marriages. In Jesus' name, amen. A few years ago, we had the privilege to go over to Zambia
and visit Gina Fry. And loved being with Gina and seeing all that she does. And got to spend some wonderful time in that ministry over there. On the way over, we had an overnight stay in Dubai, United Arab Emirates. And so, because we knew we were going to be there for an overnight, my wife and I decided that we would schedule a little getaway over there. And we scheduled a tour, and a Jeep picked us up at our motel. And we jumped into the Jeep with another couple and with a driver, one of the Arabic people over there. And they began to drive, and they drove, and they drove, and they drove some more. And all the signs over there are in Arabic, so there's no English. And they kept driving. And I was sitting in the front, and I was getting a little bit nervous, like, where are we going? Like, I did sign up for this tour, but where are they taking us? And they took us way out in the desert, and they took us at a staging area that we were there for a few minutes. And then we got into the, I believe, another Jeep, and it was our driver to go on this sand dune adventure experience. And so they drove us further out into the desert, and there were sand dunes everywhere. And we drove the sand dunes, and he would drive, and you get to the top of the sand dune, you couldn't tell what was on the other side, and he'd get on the other side, and he'd jerk the wheel, and we'd be turned around. And just about that time, he did another one, and we jerked the other way, and beautiful, beautiful area. But the longer we were out in the sand dunes, the more I felt like, I have no idea how we're going to get out of here. Like, there are dunes everywhere, and I don't know where we came from, and I don't know where we're going. And if I were driving, I would be very, very scared at this point, because I don't think I could get us back to civilization, so to speak. And I was glad that I wasn't the driver, because if I was the driver, I wouldn't know the destination to get to. I'm not familiar with that area. To share by means of another illustration this morning, on March 18, 2014, Malaysian Airline Flight 370 was leaving Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, and headed for Beijing, China. 227 passengers, 12 crew, total of 239 people. It was an overnight flight, and just before the plane reached the Vietnamese airspace, it veered off course. And when it veered off course, it began to fly back over the Malay Peninsula, and then it disappeared on radar altogether. And to this day, 10 years later, there have been multiple investigations of this airplane and what happened, and nobody knows where it's at. Nobody knows where it landed. Nobody knows if it exploded. Nobody knows if it went into the sea. Some have surmised that maybe the pilot had a plot to take it down into the ocean. Others have thought that maybe it was hijacked. Others have thought there was mechanical trouble. But it veered off course, and nobody knows where it's at today. In fact, back in May, they just opened another investigation to try to find out for these families what happened to that flight. Radar and satellite data showed that the plane had strayed from its original route, and it is believed to have eventually crashed into the southern Indian Ocean. It is one of the greatest aviation mysteries of all time. Happened 10 years ago. You can look it up. You can read about it. What happened to Malaysia Flight 370? And this morning, oftentimes in marriage, marriages veer off course. And they veer off course, and sometimes they end in the tragedy of separation or divorce or an affair. And oftentimes the question is answered, what happened? Or in other words, where do marriages veer off course? That is a very good question in our series on the functional family. More importantly, I'd like to answer this question this morning. Why do marriages veer off course. Now, what I'm going to preach in the message, the truth is, what I'm going to preach in the message are principles for all relationships in life. I'm dealing specifically with the marriage relationship this morning, but really in all of our lives, it affects all of our relationships. Relationships veer off course. How do they veer off course? They're still asking that question about Malaysian Airlines 370. How did it veer? When did it veer? Where in the world? Why did it veer off course? Questions that remain unanswered. But I believe this morning that the Bible can give us very clear answers as to why relationships, specifically marriages, veer off course. And I want to look at those this morning in the Scripture. Number one, if you're taking notes, why marriages go off course is because, one, they begin off course when one or both partners are not saved. Marriages begin off course when one or both partners are not saved. This is a good reminder for all of us this morning. It's a good reminder that when God designed marriage, He designed for two believers to come together in marriage. Two people that have a clear testimony of salvation. And by the way, we ought to have the fruits to back it up. Not just a profession, but we ought to have the fruits of possession in our lives. The Bible says in Amos chapter 3, verse number 3, can two walk together except they be agreed. Agreed. In other words, there has to be an agreement for two people to walk together in fellowship and companionship and harmony and peace. Two people have to be agreed. Turn over in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. Marriages begin off course when one or both partners are not saved. May I say this? Let's extend it to relationships. If you're a Christian and a dedicated Christian, you're not going to get along with well and be able to walk into every arena of life with an unsaved friend. Because two can't walk together unless they be agreed. What does that mean? That means there's going to be a comfort zone that's not there. There's going to be things that you're not like-minded on, and they're going to cause trouble. You cannot walk with somebody that is disagreed. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 14. The Bible says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship, what partnership hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness, and what concord or harmony hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel?" Do you see all of these questions? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Five questions that Paul poses to bring us to the conclusion this doesn't work. I had better follow God's command in my life of not being unequally yoked together with unbelievers. That means you're going to want to pull the conversation in a spiritual conversation, and the other person has no interest in a spiritual conversation. That means in the context of marriage, you're going to want to bring your children to church on Sunday, and this person could care less about church, could care less about Christ, could care less about Christian values. Why? They're darkness. They're a Belial. Here the Bible says they're unrighteous. Here, they live a life of idolatry. Listen, your marriage choice is a big choice. Don't walk together. Don't entertain the thought of an unbeliever as your marriage partner. "Well, preacher, I think I can witness to them and lead them to Jesus." You know, that's happened about one out of every 2,000 times in history. It doesn't usually work that way. It usually works that that unsaved person draws away the believer from the commitments, from their faith, from their values, from their faithfulness, from everything that they had in Christ. You can't begin on course in marriage with somebody that is unsaved if you're a believer. It is a good reminder for all of us this morning. Every young person here ought to have in their mind, and they ought to be convinced of this truth. And as a result of being convinced, they ought to make a commitment or a conviction that, you know what? If God allows me to get married, I will never entertain dating or courting somebody that is unsaved. That is not an option in my life. Every young person that's serious about the Lord ought to make that commitment and have that conviction. Secondly, may I say this? Marriages go off course without the influence of the Spirit. I give you something very hard to listen to this morning. But if there's a partner that is without the influence of the Spirit, it will feel like a marriage that is linked with a believer and unbeliever. In other words, if you're going to live carnal without the influence of the Spirit, you're going to have the same trouble that a believer with an unbeliever has. It is vital that we understand that marriage goes off course when either partner is not under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Preacher, under the influence. In our text, in Ephesians chapter 5, the Bible gives us a powerful chapter on walking in love and walking in light. In Ephesians chapter 5, if you go back to the beginning of the chapter, you will see in verse number 1, "Be therefore followers of God as dear children and walk in love," right? And walk in love. If you're going to be a follower of God, you need to walk in love. If you drop down to verse number 8, "For you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Do you understand that love and light in the context of Ephesians 5 are relational words? They are not abstract words. They are not words that don't have links to our relationships. They have all links to our relationships. Now notice, as we read through this chapter, we'll see this in verse number 2, "And walk in love." In verse number 3, "But fornication and all uncleanness," or all forms of immorality, "or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become the saints." Or in other words, "and" is the word that begins verse number 2, and "but" is the word that begins verse number 3. You can't walk in love and be bringing these things into your relationships with others. In other words, "let it not be named once among you as become a saint." These sins are not to be named among us in our relationships. It's not to be named once among us. Notice in verse number 4, "neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting. I don't know about you, but I don't generally hear somebody foolish talking or talking filthy to themselves. That's indicating relational again. Okay? What we're bringing into our relationships. If you drop down to verse number 5, "For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." In other words, to walk in love, you have to say no to some sins that are going to affect your relationships. Things that do damage to our marriages reveal we are not walking in love. Now, this is a chapter about the family, particularly about husband and wife relationships. And we know that a marriage cannot begin on course without two believers coming together in marriage. But we also know that a marriage goes off course when we are not under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at verses 17 through 21. "Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." In other words, be not drunk with wine, be not intoxicated with wine, be not under the influence of alcohol, but instead be filled or under the influence or intoxicated with the Spirit of God. And if that takes place in a life, then just like alcohol may throw somebody into a fit of rage and be out of control, or it may throw them into trying to walk the line, so the intoxication of the Spirit throws somebody into the next three verses of Scripture. Look at them with me. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. The first influence of the Spirit is that you are in your inner man speaking to yourselves through spiritual truth. We could name psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs as spiritual truth, just like we sang spiritual truth in our song service this morning. And you heard the choir sing spiritual truth, and you heard Bill and Marcia sing spiritual truth, and you sang spiritual truth, Spirit of the Living God, mold me, make me, fill me, use me. So it is that a person that is under the control of the Holy Spirit is filling themselves, speaking to themselves in spiritual truth. There's another thing that the Spirit of God produces in somebody's heart, and that is giving of thanks for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's another thing that it produces, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And so if your marriage is veering off course, it is likely one or both marriage partners have gotten off course with the Spirit. This is the heart of the matter. This is not rocket science to figure out. This is something that God put in the pages of Scripture, and leading into the greatest passage on marriage in all of Scripture, He prepares us for it by saying the influence of the Spirit on your life has a direct effect upon your marriage or lack thereof. Problems in marriage mean two people have spiritual problems. What it means. At the heart of every problem is a problem of the heart. And the real problem in the marriage is not the relationship with one another. It's the relationship to the Spirit of God. That's the real problem. You want to get your marriage back on course this morning, then you have to get your relationship with the Spirit back on course this morning. That's vital. Today, when marriage problems occur, we are quick to offer excuses. We're quick to offer excuses of why we acted the way that we did, or why we talked the way that we did, or why we reacted, or why we spoke, or why we threatened, or why we refused to share any loving words, or refused to give any inch in a discussion, or refused to forgive, or refused to see any good, or refused to speak in sweet and kind tones, or refused to serve each other, refused to be tender to each other. Simply put, your spirit of excuses and refusal is like a siren going off that you have a broken relationship with the Spirit of God. I'm sorry. Excuses do not ring in God's ears as vital reasons why you are not listening to the Spirit of God or yielding to the Spirit of God. I'm convinced many believers do not understand the moment-by-moment filling of the Spirit of God. When someone can take a can of beer or a bottle of wine or a flask of whiskey and put it into their body, at that moment they are yielding to the influence of it. The moment that they take it, the moment that they put it up to their lips, they have yielded to the influence of that substance. The moment that somebody takes marijuana and puts it into their body, or some other drug like fentanyl, or we could mention cocaine or a number of others. What are they doing? They are yielding to the influence of that substance. Why do people do that? When do people do that? When there's an urge? Urges come from where? The flesh. There's an impulse. The flesh is very impulsive. There's a dark moment. There's a temptation. I need it. I want it. Go to the refrigerator. I'll drink it. And when they do, they yield to the influence of it. In our relationship to the Holy Spirit, there must be a walking, a yielding to His leadership and His influence. And without this, we will hurt each other. I want you to understand that this influence, this filling of the Spirit influence, can minimize conflict in your relationships, particularly in your marriage. Let's paint a scenario this morning. Let's say me and my wife are talking, and I respond in the conversation in a way that, and with a tone in which she feels attacked, threatened, or unimportant. Have you ever said any words that made somebody feel attacked, threatened, or unimportant? Have you ever been spoken words where you received words from somebody that made you feel threatened, attacked, or unimportant? Reality of life, right? Reality of life. And I have done that to my wife. I'm not proud of that, but I've done that to my wife. Now, in that situation, I have not operated under the influence of the Spirit, right? I've spoken in a harsh tone, or I've spoken in a tone that, or I've spoken words that have created that hurt in my wife's life. She's in a very important place at that point, right? If she can yield to the Spirit at that moment and be under the influence of the Spirit, she can react and respond in a way that takes that scenario and cools it down. Or she can respond with the impulsive flesh that we all have and fire back. Now, question. If she fires back and I'm already not filled with the Spirit, what's the chance that I'm going to fire back? Pretty high. When that happens, where are we going? Fire's getting bigger. Hurt's going deeper. Farther away from reconciliation. Right? And so her response is critical to whether or not this is going to get bigger. She could throw all kinds of weapons at me. She could throw the weapon of silence at me and be silent for the next 2 hours. She could throw the weapon of, I didn't appreciate that. And you always, and throw a generalization at me in that. She could throw a threatening, honey, if you continue to do this, I'm not going to be able to live with you any longer. She could throw all kinds of things at me in response that are flesh motivated. All right? If she is slow to respond, if she is quick to hear the Spirit's voice, not to add wood to the fire, if she is quick to bring her spirit under control of the Spirit, she can help me and help herself. If I am quick to hear the Spirit and realize how I said what I said and respond to the Spirit and humble myself, then I can also minimize the damage of the conflict and restore love, submission, humility, and thankfulness back into our relationship. But I'll tell you what happens in a lot of homes. We only hear the impulse of the flesh. And when we respond to the impulse of the flesh, we make a step off course in our marriage. And then our mate is tempted to hear the impulse of the flesh, and they respond in the flesh, and all of a sudden, we're both veering off course because we're not under the influence of the Spirit. Husbands and wives, would you listen to me this morning and everybody else in all of your relationships? In a moment of conflict, you need to be slow to hear the voice of the flesh and quick to hear the voice of the Spirit. That is being under the influence of the Spirit of God when you hear His voice. Can I tell you how it usually works because of the intensity of the moment? Usually, it sounds like the flesh is screaming. And oftentimes, because our relationship to the Spirit is not strong, we don't even hear the voice of the Spirit of God. Which means the influence of the flesh runs our marriage. And my friend, look over in Galatians chapter 5, if you will, because this is a very, very powerful passage of Scripture. There's some, maybe, in the room this morning that need to yank out the earbud of the flesh and put in the earbud again of the Spirit's voice. I want you to see in Galatians chapter 5, look at verse number 15, "But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Paul's writing to the church at Galatia. Again, he's dealing with broader relationships than just marriage, but certainly it would include marriage. And here it says, "But if ye bite," it's the idea of a dog and a wild beast in a fight, and they're going after each other, and they're contending, and they're rearing back, and they're running into each other, and they got their mouth open, and they're ready to latch on to the other person, the other animal. Without the Spirit's influence, you will be like that in your marriage. "But if ye bite," and the Bible says, devour. Picture here is a wild beast wrestling and contending and fighting until it has destroyed or inflicted a mortal wound on its enemy. Do you understand, without the influence of the Spirit of God, you will bite and devour and consume the one that is nearest to you without the influence of the Spirit? You will inflict mortal wounds on your marriage. That's very, very serious. What is the resolution or the remedy for that? Look at verse number 16. "This I say then, walk in the Spirit." In other words, to avoid that kind of a relationship, there must be a walking in the Spirit. As I'm taking steps in my life, I'm yielding to what I understand is the Spirit's voice. The Spirit's voice would tell you not to react in anger. Would tell you not to react in screaming. Would tell you not to pull up a weapon and shoot it at your mate. I'm not talking about a gun necessarily. I'm talking about words. I'm talking about ways in which we treat our mates. Look at verse number 18. "But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law." So what is the cure? What is the protection against biting and devouring one another in our marriage relationship? It is walking and being led under the influence of the Spirit of God. Can I say this? People without the filling of the Holy Spirit are very difficult people to live with. They're fleshly. They're selfish. They're not temperate with their tongue. They shoot off words and they shoot off tones and they shoot off things that are hard to bear. And so, this morning, if your marriage is off course, it is likely it's off course because you have broken your relationship with the Spirit. This is God's course for marriage. God's course for marriage is being filled with the Spirit. you're filled with the Spirit, then guess what? The fruits of the Spirit interweave themselves into your marriage relationship and into your other relationships in life. You know what? That person's a blessing to be around. That person's an encouragement to be around. That person's countenance and their spirit is rejoicing. And they're thankful. They're not complaining. And they're submissive. They're easy to get along with. Because the Spirit's controlling them. When that's not present, they're hard to get along with. They're stubborn, they're resistant, they're complaining, they're not speaking to themselves in psalms and hymns and truth. They're speaking to themselves why everything is wrong in my life, why everything about this person, the other person, this is wrong and this is wrong and this is wrong and this is wrong. And that's the only thing they can think about. They're governed by the flesh. Why do marriages go off course? They go off course without a daily dedication to fulfill our God-given roles. Now, I would argue this morning in Ephesians chapter 5 that the evidences of being filled with the Spirit are speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, giving thanks always in all things, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. But I would also argue that it is fulfilling the God-given roles within marriage. Because the Spirit works through the Word of God. And in verses 22 through 33, God's going to spell out the roles. Or the Spirit of God is going to spell out what a marriage ought to look like. What on course means. Rather than what off course means. And so marriages go off course without a daily dedication to fulfill our God-given roles. May I say this morning? Your marriage isn't running well today because you made a vow and you've never renewed your commitment. Good marriages are people that fulfill their roles daily before God. Not, I made it 20 years ago and I really haven't given much thought to it since then. But I made it and I'm serious about fulfilling it. This morning it could be, as we discuss the roles, that God melts your heart, that God molds your mind around these rules every day in my life to my mate before God. And that if I'm going to be under the influence of the Spirit, then I have to commit myself daily to fulfill these rules. And so, in this we are taught that husbands are to exercise a role of self-sacrificial headship. I want to speak to the men to begin here. It's to be a pattern after Christ's love for the church. It's a beautiful pattern. It makes marriage functional. It makes marriage delightful. Often men view leadership only through the expression of control. Notice, he didn't tell you to control your wife. He told you to love your wife. Most men think leadership, bless God, she ought to follow me. Why don't you say, bless God, I need to love her? Because that's your responsibility. And my responsibility. And that's a big one. Does your love, gentlemen, cost you anything for your wife? Does it cost you any time? Does it cost you any money? Well, she just knows I love her. You know, Christ's love was sacrificial. It cost him his life. Life. Your love for your wife, my love for my wife, is to be sacrificial. Do you express your love in kind words? Practical ways of service? Do you ever verbally express to your wife, I love you? Do you express your love and physical affection in time spent together, in consideration of her desires, her likes, dislikes, in honoring her when you speak of her to others? Are you quick to be kind or forbear her when she's having a difficult day or going through a physical issue? Are you ready to bear an ongoing health burden that you know affects her soul, her energy, her perspective? Are you willing to endure times when she pulls away, or when she hurts you by what she says? Will you give her the benefit of the doubt? Will you listen to her? Are you a person of understanding? Or do you understand everybody else but have no understanding towards your wife? You know, the Bible says in the last days, one of the characteristics of people will be without natural affection. It means exactly what it says. Unsociable, unloving, inhuman. It is the absence of the kind of love for family that should be instinctive in us gentlemen. But the problem is we're selfish. And selfishness stamps out the fire of love. There's a word in the New Testament, natural affections. It's one of the four words for love in the New Testament. It's never at all used in the New Testament. It refers to the natural love that members of the same family have for each other. I don't believe that God thought that He would ever have to encourage natural affection within our families, that would be natural. But He does have to deal with unnatural affection. This is not common. This should not be in a relationship between a husband and a wife that are believers that are under the influence of the Spirit of God. Unnatural. I think that abortion is one of those things. But I know in our marriages, many times there's unnatural, without natural affection in our homes. We don't talk to each other. We don't care for one another. We don't try to serve each other something from the kitchen. We just live in our own worlds. And it's not godly, may I say that this morning. And it's not Spirit-filled or under the influence of the Spirit of God. We're to nourish them and cherish them. We're to lift our mates up. We're to help them reach their potential. We're to cherish means to warm with body heat. We're to provide a warm, gentlemen, safe, and secure environment for the wife that God has given us. Prioritize her in your communication. Pity her when she's sick. I mean, show compassion and mercy. Protect your marriage by creating self-imposed boundaries. Plan a date. Nourishing is an attitude and cherishing is an action. Have the attitude and perform the action in your marriage, gentlemen. Women are to submit to their husbands. The Bible says the church is to submit to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Ladies, I want to help you today. When you speak words that are critical of your husband in tones that are sharp, you are sinning against God. You are violating the Scripture. When you refuse to build up your husbands with words to others and instead tear him down, you are violating Scripture. When you have such a strong opinion that belittles your husband's input, it's a violation of the spirit of submission. When you shut him off and say, we're done talking about this, it is a violation of the spirit of submission, and you are helping take your marriage off course, and you are not under the influence of the Spirit of God. Because the influence of the Spirit says, I'll bring myself under. And that's not just physically, and that's not just outwardly, but that's inwardly. The reverence of a woman gives her husband, and the submission of her wife to her of a wife to her husband is to be voluntary, and it is the fruit of her yieldedness to the Spirit. When I'm yielded to the Spirit, He'll produce this in my life. Let me give you some things, ladies, that would help your marriage to be or get back on course. Praise your husband. Praise him publicly. Praise him privately. Express gratitude to your husband. Thank you. Thank your husband often. You know, those words, thank you, mean two things. For one, I see you. Number two, I appreciate you. if there's never any Thanksgiving, you wonder, do I even exist? Right? Not that we're all going looking for Thanksgiving, but thank you means a lot. It says a lot in your marriage. Forgive and learn to forgive the same offenses repeatedly. Men are not that bright. All right? What I mean is, they do things over and over again that bug you. All right? So what do? We in the Spirit, we forgive. Seek to understand Him. Refuse the urge to nag Him and don't be His mother. No man, listen to me, no man enjoys having two mothers. One's a plenty. All right? Be responsive to His ideas or His affection. Have a gentle spirit toward Him. Guard your nonverbal language toward Him. You know your nonverbal language makes up 93% of your communication? What you communicate nonverbally. Consider His sacrifices. Honor His wishes. Now watch this as I close the message this morning. Every one of us has a fresh start every day on this front. Every one of us does. We have a fresh start. Can I give you something else as I close the message? Say, preacher, you don't understand. You do not understand my marriage. I cannot do, preacher, what you're talking to me about. Can I tell you, throughout human history for 6,000 years, there have always been excuses for men not to love their wives. And many good ones placed there by the enemy. And there have always been plenty of excuses for women not to reverence and submit to their husbands. And plenty of them. You know why? You know what God's got to work with in marriage? Two sinners that are not going to bat 1,000% every day in doing right and fulfilling their God-given responsibilities. But if you will, every day, pray over your marriage and say, God, today I'm committing to fulfilling what Your Word says. As far as the Spirit's influence, I cannot do this, Lord, by myself. I need Your Spirit to speak loudly to my heart if I get off course today. But Lord, today's a new day. You know what you don't want said? You don't want said, what happened to their marriage? You don't want said, boy, it seems like they're miserable with each other. What's wrong? Right? We've identified what's wrong this morning. It has everything to do with this, my relationship to the Spirit of God and my commitment to fulfill my God-given roles daily for God. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed this morning. I'm sorry for going a little longer. Thank you for bearing with me this morning. I wonder if you're here today and you could say this, preacher. I understand why marriages veer off course. The truths that you spoke, preacher, I see them from God's perspective. The authority of the Scripture is very clear to me, why marriages go off course. Would you raise your hand if you understand that this morning? Say, preacher, I understand. I see those truths very clearly this morning. You may put your hands down. I'm not beating up on anybody this morning. All marriages here are a work in progress, right? They're a work in progress with the help of the Spirit. But I wonder in your marriage, and I'm speaking about you today. I'm not speaking about your mate today, okay? I don't want you shoveling this over to the person next to you. I'm just speaking to you about you. In your life, do you have a relationship with the Spirit where you hear the Spirit's voice? Or would you say, preacher, I'll be honest, my relationship with the Spirit is either strained or it's distant, and I can't say I've been yielding to the Spirit in my life. You don't have to be married this morning to recognize that. I'm talking to all people this morning. I'm saying in your relationship to the Spirit, as we look at the fruits of the Spirit, I wonder if you would say, preacher, God is dealing with my heart about my relationship to the Spirit of God. It is not where it needs to be. I need to repair that relationship. I understand it's the fountain by which all other relationships are affected. Preacher, God's dealing with me about my relationship to the Spirit. Would you raise your hand in this building? Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. God's dealing with me about my relationship to the Spirit of God. I wonder if you're here and you would say, preacher, in my life, I'm not proud of this, but I know there's a propensity. I am propelled sometimes in my relationships, my marriage relationship, to bite and devour. Preacher, it is within me. I know it. And I see that. This, I say then, walk in the Spirit. Preacher, I'm not proud of it, but I have done some biting and devouring of late in my life toward my mate, and I am broken over it this morning. Preacher, please pray for me. This cannot go on like this. I do not want to inflict mortal wounds on my mate. Would you raise your hand in this building if you're like that? God is dealing with me, preacher. He is dealing with me this morning in my marriage. Would you raise your hand with these others? I cannot continue to bite and devour my mate. I wonder if you're a man and you would say, preacher, the daily commitment to sacrificially love my wife, I have neglected. I have missed out on. I have left behind in my life. And God is stirring my heart as a man to commit myself daily to fulfill that role that only I can fulfill in my wife's life. I am stirred, preacher, to a greater commitment of love, daily commitment of love toward my mate. Would you raise your hand this morning? I am a man. I want a marriage that pleases the Lord. I want it to be on course, and I understand I'm easily distracted. I'm easily caught up in my own world. God's dealing with me this morning as a man. Would you raise your hand in this building? I wonder if you're a lady this morning. We're talking about Spirit of God, melt me. We're talking about Spirit of God, mold me. You see the roles and you see the fruits of giving thanks in all things and submitting to one another and giving reverence. And you would say, preacher, I have not done that like I should. Preacher, God, the Spirit is awakening me this morning to the importance of my marriage staying on course. It boils down to my relationship through the Spirit and my fulfilling of my roles. Preacher, please pray for me as a woman. I'm convicted this morning. I'm convicted before the Lord. Would you raise your hand in this building? God's dealing with me, preacher, this morning. Now, folks, the Spirit of God has revealed truth, and God wants to change us. God wants us to be strengthened to His Spirit. I'll say this morning. There's no place that the hard heart is revealed greater than when it comes to changing in our marriages. Don't be that person this morning. You be tender. You let God stir your heart. You confess some things at an altar this morning. You make some changes. You read this passage over. You listen to the sermon again. You let this word work in your heart. Father, we thank you for marriage. Lord, we thank you for relationships in life. Lord, we're trying to help marriages stay on course. Lord, many today are veering off course, troubled. Lord, I pray that you'll deal with hearts in this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand with me. Your heads are bowed. Your eyes are closed. If you're standing, you're already one move toward the altar. Why don't you step out right now? God's dealing with you about your marriage. It's messages like this that pull us back on course before we get too far off course. If you're a man and God's dealing with you about your roles or your relationship to the Spirit, you're a woman this morning. Oh, respond to the Lord this morning. Hymn number 247 in your song books. Look at me with the third verse. I am weakness, full of weakness. Boy, we are in the flesh, aren't we? But we need the filling of the Holy Spirit. Sing verse number 3 as we close the message today. You're hearing the Word of God. Trust that it will make an impact on your marriage, your relationships this week. Pastor Todd will be giving the announcements, and we'll see you down at the other building tonight at 6:30.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org. Or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.